another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hey, look what it is. It's the Boop Show, which is 170, and it's me and Brian, so stay here and listen. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show. It's Monday, April 2018. It's Scott Johnson here with Brian. Dunaway is right over there dancing. What's up, man?
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
That was hot, dude.
Just doing a little pre-show calisthenics.
That's good looking. That's why you're in such good shape.
Isn't that what old people do, the calisthenics?
What's your secret now for keeping all that weight off? You're looking great these days. What do you do? What do you just starve yourself or run? What do you do? What's your plan?
No, I cut out sodas and bread.
Soda and bread. So sugar, processed sugar style stuff and bread.
And then I walk 5 miles a day.
Well, that'll help too. Right. I kind of like your thinking. I may have to try that out. Hey, everybody, it's us. We're back. We're going to do a little show here for you. I'm going to talk about video games and what we've been doing this week. I am excited, though, to announce a little quick something, and I'm just going to do it now because why not? I'm just in the mood. So here it is, everyone. Here's the sound for it. Oh, that's not it. Sorry, it's another song. I don't know what I did with it. Anyway, hey. Is this it?
I don't like Steam.
There, that's fine. They'll play that.
Hey, I don't.
Yes, you do. You love Steam now.
The service, yes.
Yeah, the service is fine. So I did a thing, and I'm very excited about it. I started a Kickstarter. Okay, you're saying to yourselves, look, we're video gamers. We don't want to hear about no tabletop experience, let alone, you know, playing cards like face cards. Well, tough beans, because when I was 8 years old, I thought, you know what I want to do one day? I want to make my own playing cards. I want to draw my own kings, queens, jacks, jokers. I want to, like, create all the suits. I want to do the card backs, and I want it to be really cool. And I got to do this one day, I said, when I was 8, I said. So, finally, I freaking figured it out and got it my butt off the proverbial can there and made it happen. So, it launched, like, 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, something like that. If you are interested in what that looks like and what that's about, whether it's a thing you want to support or not and get your own decks from, you can find the very affordable Kickstarter over at frogpants.com/cards. That's where I put it, so it's easy to find. You can also search for it on Kickstarter, but that's just as easy. It's a link right there, frogpants.com/cards, and go check it out, see what you think. If you're a gamer, you might like it, because there's playing cards. Yo, you want to play some, you want to play a little bit of slapjack? Hey, I got some good news for you. Got some cards coming your way.
Want to play some Go Fish?
Yeah, see?
I've got you straight.
I got you covered. So go play it, find it, do it, support it, and let me know what you think. All right, Brian, let's get down to brass tacks here. This is a big week for Blizzard this week, it turns out. And you're saying to yourself, wait, what happened? Wow, freaking Overwatch? Like, what's the deal? No. Hearthstone released their latest expansion called, is it just Witchwood? I think it's just Witchwood. Hold on.
Witchwood
expansion. Okay, it's called, is it The Witch? Okay, it's The Witchwood. And I pre-ordered that like some month ago or whatever. Excuse me. And when I did that,
all the couth right here on the show.
All out of here. So that was $49 to pre-order that expansion. And what does that give you? Normally, that gives you 50 decks of cards that you open. And they'll have random cards in there, and you hopefully you get lucky and get some cool ones, right? What I did was I pre-ordered this because they did this deal where instead of 50 cards, that same price got you 70, or not 50 cards, 50 decks. That price got you 70 cards. Decks. I keep saying cards. Decks, which is like 300 and I don't know how many cards. It's a lot of cards. So I thought,
can I ask you a question before we get too far in that story?
Yeah.
When you buy all those cards, do you open up each one of those and go through each card and read what each one of them is?
Yeah, I did it on the stream too. Well, I don't.
Oh my God, how long does that take?
All right, it took about, I don't know, not that long. Here's what I do. I don't go through every card and read it out loud or something. What I do is I'm especially looking for rares, epics, the high one, which my brain just went dead.
Ultra rare.
I want to say ultimates. It's not right. What's wrong with
legendary?
Legendaries. Thank you. So I'm waiting for all those. And when those pop, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to read and, you know, kind of dig in. And some of them I knew what they were because I knew they were coming and I just was hoping I'd get one. But there were a few cases of like some standard cards that would pop for like a, I don't know, Paladin. And I'd see it and go, oh, interesting. It does that. So I would stop and kind of look at the functionality of the cards. But I'm not like going, okay, this one contains a rendering of a donkey. Let's see what his powers are. It's not like that.
I'm going to put this in my power deck.
He is 3 mana, and he's got 2 life and 7 health. Like, I'm not doing that. So I just kind of click, bam, bam, bam. And what do we got? Okay, cool. Get the next deck. Do it, do it, do it. So I did that.
Right.
It's very satisfying because they explode in this big fireworks-y-looking display. It's always been... Hearthstone's always been very good at that. It looks really good when you open something.
Oh, yeah.
And then what I... here's the happy accident or the happy moment. Is I got a lot of great cards, and I was looking at some of the more popular decks that are being run right now from the expansion over the last few days, and I looked at these decks and went, oh, I have cards for these. I don't have to fake some or replace some or even make some or go buy more decks to make more. I just have them. So I go and I just make these decks thinking, oh, look at this guy, says 70% win rate. Oh, that seems good. I wouldn't mind winning 70% of the time. That sounds lovely. That's more than 50, which is kind of what you expect, right? I've won 2 out of 15 games.
Nice. That is statistically an improvement from your past. No,
I was better before worse. This expansion. I feel like I'm really bad out of the gate on it, but I am having fun,
so,
and I like it.
But that, you know, you had a really good conversation with Garrett. Mm-hmm. Not too long ago about that. He also, by the way, TV's Egon in the chat room on Twitch said, Brian, Garrett did 250 packs on the stream.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's
it's crazy.
He's obsessed.
And people,
so that's good.
Listen, people paid him for that. He would sit there and he would open cards for like 3 hours or whatever it was.
What's the value in that? Okay, I get it. There's value to it.
And they would donate money, and they would throw him bits, and they would do all this Twitch stuff while he's over there just going, here's a new pack, here's a new pack. Now, if you're really into that game, and he's really good too, by the way, so he's like he's a guy that gets to at least top 10 rank every month, if not rank 1, and he does it on the regular, and he knows his stuff. So people go to that because they know they're going to get knowledge. They came to watch mine because I'm an idiot. That's why they watch me do it, because I'm dumb.
Understanding Hearthstone is about as hard as understanding your taxes.
A little bit it can be. Well, taxes are harder, but and also they screw you more.
Do they really?
Yeah, taxes versus... I would rather spend money on Hearthstone cards than taxes any day. Are you kidding? That'd be
okay,
great.
So no upcoming episode of you doing Twitch doing your taxes. Okay, I got you.
No. Oh, my gosh, what a nightmare it would be for everyone involved. So here's the deal. I get a bunch of good cards. I made a bunch of decks. I still suck, but whatever. I'm enjoying the game. I played that this week. I wanted to make sure everyone knew that was a thing, and I played it.
I actually deleted Hearthstone off my phone to make room for another game.
It's a big game.
Does that make me bad?
No.
Yeah, it's a big game.
No, it just means you're not into Hearthstone. It's okay. A lot of people aren't. It's fine. Okay. It's not really my... it's not my main Blizzard game by any stretch. I just thought, well, if I'm going to buy a bunch of cards, I actually have a chance here to kind of go for it. The way it works now is older cards get shuffled off into... Literally. shuffled off into the wild category, which means they aren't used for standard play anymore, which means... a lot of those cards I didn't have, I don't have to get anymore, and I don't really care about wild, so I'm not going to play that. Although, I have a complaint. There was a bug when I launched the game. It was default set to wild and not standard. I didn't change it. It just was there after the patch, and I didn't look, so I wasn't paying attention, and I went and played games in wild not knowing that. So those losses I don't even count were my loss pile because I'm playing these new standard decks in a wild environment, which is just asking for trouble because they have all these wacky old cards that nobody uses anymore. So I flipped that back over, played proper games and standard, still didn't win. You know, like I said, I won 2 out of 15 or something. And I know sometimes things just don't go your way, but I'm used to in a new expansion getting in and doing pretty well the first few days. It's not so much happening this time.
Right.
But it's a great game and I'm enjoying it and I spent money on it, so I'm playing it and...
That's great, though. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Oh, by the way, also in the chat room, Moo Cow post a link, and maybe everybody knows about this, and I have no idea, but you can open fake Hearthstone packs for free.
Yeah.
At hearthcards.net/packs.
Yeah, and this, this is true. You can do that.
This is nothing but just satisfying your pack craving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here, I'll put it up on the screen.
That is insane to me.
What's stupid is the Witchwood. Is this the Witchwood one? I think those are Witchwood cards. Let me stick them in there. No. The thing is, they don't open like the expansion that they're from, which is kind of a bummer. But this is just like some, not Flash, but like HTML5 rendering of
The fact that somebody went through this much effort, and the fact that people visit this site and do it, just proves.
Oh, people are into it.
The obsession that in the OCD that's involved with this, I'm assuming.
I guess so. I don't know. I think people just want to know what it feels like to open up things that cost money normally. I don't know.
I played Hearthstone in the beginning.
Yeah.
I really did. And then it got complicated. When it got to the point that you had to go online and research other people's packs and try to figure out a style of play, it got too complicated for me.
Yeah. Well, it is complicated. If you don't like this style of thing,
right.
It's not my favorite kind of thing. If you're talking about card games, my favorite kind of card game is a deck builder rather than a deck collector. This is a CCG, a collectible card game. I like games that are, generally speaking, I like deck builders where what you have available to you is always in the deck. You may not get the cards during the deal that you want, but there's no cards to unlock or pay for or find. They're just there, and part of the game is whether you get good cards or not, and the strategy of using the right cards at the right time, and then, you know, building your game out of each play session. And there are lots of video games that do that. There are lots of tabletop card games that do that. Most of the popularity, though, is definitely around this CCG world, Magic the Gathering being the, you know, the big grandfather of them all, and then certainly Hearthstone and other digital games like Eternal and Elder Scrolls Legends. Those games,
Yeah, we talked about it, and I've played Elder Scrolls Legends, and I like it because it's not as into collecting. You know, it's still collectibles, but it's not to Hearthstone levels.
Oh yeah, well, part of it's because it hasn't been around as long, but yeah, like they've done a good job. Like, I like those guys. In fact, both that and Eternal were developed by Direwolf. Is it just Direwolf Games?
Yes. Whatever it is. I believe it is Direwolf,
and they're really good. They're my favorite alternatives to Hearthstone, and I will play those occasionally. I've spent money on Eternal. I like that game a lot. It's good.
Is there an adjustment period? Because I know that Hearthstone's usually well balanced. Is there an adjustment period during a time?
When
these new packs come out, people are just too OP and that's
It's like what Garrett said the other day on the instance. He says, I mean, it's just kind of Wild West for a couple of weeks before, maybe a week before the new metas start to settle in, and by that I mean like pro players and really skilled streamers and stuff like that, they'll start to settle in on what the new hotness is, and then that will start to sort of trickle down, and then what happens is the players start adapting, and then Blizzard steps in and goes, yeah, that one card's a little too OP, because they don't want people with 80% win rates. They want people, I mean, optimally what you want in any competitive environment, any game of any kind, whatever that game is, you want a 50-50 chance, especially in this case. So a 50% win rate in a game like Heroes of the Storm, Dota 2, League of Legends, that's key. You want that. And when they get too high, in come the nerf bats, and they nerf them down. If they're too low, they buff them. So same thing with these cards. I think it's a more complicated process because there's just these cards, and they all just have so much to do with each other. They all affect each other in so many ways. Then you've got Blizzard's decision to have multiple classes with class cards plus common cards plus special cards. Like, it's super amazing that these games even work, to be honest. I don't know how you do it from a design standpoint, but yeah, give it a week, give it 2 weeks, it'll be like always. There'll be like 5 to 10 decks that everybody uses, which is kind of my other problem with these kind of games, is eventually it settles into, you know, this handful of decks that you must play or else you're not going to get very far if you're trying to be competitive.
Right.
And that kind of bums me out a little bit.
It does. And, you know, I Hearthstone is a free-to-play game. However, it is, you know, these packs are not free. I mean, how much do you pay on this pack?
Well, they're free if you grind them out. I mean, if you
oh, yeah,
if you do enough quests and stuff and open enough packs. But nobody does that if they're serious about playing there. I mean, right. I'm sure there's some people out there that claim that they've always been free to play and they're still rank one. And, you know, like, it's possible. Certainly it's possible. But that's a whole lot of work. What's nice about this expansion and getting the 70 decks for the price of 50 meant that I could catch up in a much faster way. So it really put me in a better place.
What I'm really wanting to know, Scott, I try to keep a running tally in my head of my friends who spend X number of dollars on X items so that I'll know that I'm like, oh, Scott doesn't mind spending $50 on, you know, 70 cards. However, he complains about paying $1.99 for an app on a phone.
I don't complain about
day.
That. I am a big fan. I know you. Big fan of games on phones.
I'm just making an example. I'm not saying you're like that because you're one of my friends who definitely doesn't mind spending $1.99 a couple of dollars for a game. But I just try to keep all that in frame when I talk to people. It's sure. like, okay.
No, I understand that. And someone in the chat pointed out that Hearthstone's got like 30 million players. Wow. That's a lot of players playing cards and helping Blizzard figure out what's too strong and what's too weak and that sort of thing.
Do you think that comes in the form of complaints? A lot of emails?
I don't know. No, because Blizzard has servers that tell them who's winning. They know. They can see what's happening. They can see when a card has gone way overboard, and they're like, oh, okay, we got to tone that one down, make it cost more mana or cut down on the damage or whatever it is. So they know just from internally. I mean, certainly they like feedback from the community, no question, but... Right. I think most of that stuff, like a lot of competitive video games, they see what the results of matches are, and then they act accordingly. And they can do it in big, massive amounts because 30 million people, I don't know how many average games they're playing a day or how many active people that is per day, but I'm guessing that's got to be millions of games a day. So they've got databases full of information about every match that got played that day.
Right. So what the audience should be taken away from that is that Blizzard is watching you.
Yeah, they're looking at you right now.
Right.
Yeah. They're using our show to see you with their one seeing eye. Hey, one seeing eye. Brian, how's Hob? I know you got that, but there's a note here about you say there's not enough story, and this surprises me.
So let me describe my Hob experience so far. Hob I picked up on sale, I think, for about $20 because I've been watching it.
The last last hurrah of Runic Games, just so anyone knows what this is the Torchlight people. They made Hob, and then they shut down the studio.
They shut down the dang studio,
yeah.
Which is a shame because I love Torchlight 1 and 2, and I was really glad to see that Hob was nothing like Torchlight 1 and 2. I was worried that since they use the same engine for that thing, I thought it was going to be the same, but this game is totally different. It's an adventure game, and you get to play as this little character who is nondescript. He's wearing a red tunic. Could be anything underneath there. Could be a humanoid.
He looks like the Journey dude. He looks like the little Journey guy from the Journey game.
He looks a lot like the Journey dude. And starting the game off is one of those games that's very kind of let you do your thing. There's one of the selling points this thing to them as Runic was saying, oh, there's no voice in this, so you're not going to have nobody talking, narrating, telling you what to do. And they weren't kidding, man. You start this game and you're basically, there's like a big guy kind of standing next to you. He's kind of like a robot, but not really, because he looks like he's more like made out of stone and maybe some copper or something. And he's going along, he's got this very big giant arm, and he's opening doors for you, and you're just running along because you're a little Hob, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got your little red tunic on and you're following him. By the way, he's got like two giant metal tags, like somebody's tagged him like a cow or something.
Yeah, don't forget, by the way, that Hob at one point, this is kind of a spoiler. Let's say something happens to Hob. Let's say something happens to his body. And let's say the robot has to help him out.
That's within the first 30 minutes of the game. I'm going to talk about that. So there's no spoiler there if you ask me.
All right.
If it happens within the first 30 minutes of the game, if you're really wanting to play Hob and you want zero spoilers, go ahead and turn off now, because I am going to talk a little bit about what happens to Hob. So
I'm not even, you know what? I'm going to say that it's not even in the first 30 minutes. It's like in the first 10.
It's maybe so. I mean, it's very early on. Yeah. So you're following my guy, and he keeps opening doors for you. And you as Hob, you're kind of innocently walking along behind him, and you come across, you're on an alien planet, and you come across these gelatinous blobs of stuff, and you get a little too close to them, and your arm gets jerked off. No!
Yeah.
And so, right, yeah, true, happens pretty quick. And so your little golem helper, whoever he is, he kind of takes you back somewhere, and he gives you this big Hellboy arm of one of his.
Yeah, it's one of his arms. Yeah.
It's one of his arms. You drag it around everywhere you go in this game. So it's kind of fun when you like make him run because he's like, and he's got his arm hanging off behind him. So, okay. So that sounds like a pretty interesting story, right? But that's all told visually. After that point, I feel kind of abandoned with my purpose as a creature in this basically open world, beautiful environment of what do I do next. I don't know. Give me a quest. I don't know. Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? And
well, you think it's supposed that's to be a full it's quickly. Supposed to be a whole story, right? What's how come you're not feeling that, do you think?
It is, and the reason why is because you're probably looking at maybe end reviews. I'm in the middle of the game, so this is kind of like a mid-game review where I'm about 3 hours in. It's a 10-hour game. Mm-hmm. The story is developing very slowly, but I have promises from the developers that there's a very rich story in the background that'll be revealed as you go along. So far, the first 3 hours for me, I don't know what the hell is going on. Mm. I got no idea. I just know I keep solving puzzles. Mm-hmm. I keep going up to big stone things and jerking them around with my big giant Hellboy arm. Rah! Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of electricity and lightning going on.
A lot of puzzles too, right? Like puzzle stuff. Yeah.
Tons of puzzles. I mean, it's all about the puzzles. There's a lot of gear-shaped stones that have like glowing orbs on it. You have to go up and you have to slap your hand on there and activate it. And so then the whole environment just transforms and moves around. So it's a really cool looking game.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And it's one of the things I really dug about the game so far is how vertical it is. And that sounds kind of stupid, but it's a very vertical game. There's a good bit of platforming involved, jumping between stuff, but there's a lot of climbing up and down as well. And it makes the world seem huge. Mm. I mean, it makes it seem ginormous. You're climbing down in dungeons and exploring dungeons. Most of the creatures you're inhabiting or most of the creatures you're encountering are kind of limited so far in what I've played in the first 3 hours or so. The characters I'm kind of coming against are just mostly like bug-like creatures, and most of them attack you. There's a few that are kind of docile that won't attack you. Most of those look more like human animals that we would be used to, like pigs, and there's a giraffe. A giraffe is scary as crap. Did you get that far? Did you get to the giraffe parts where you got
looking right now?
Giant alien. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Yeah, they remind me. You know what they remind me of? They remind me of. What am I thinking of? They remind me
scary.
Of. Well, they're scary, but they remind me of something else. What's the old game? The one from back in the day.
Zoo Tycoon.
No, it's a freaking gosh dang it. Whatever it is, it reminds me of that. Will Wright game that nobody liked, but Spore reminds me of Spore looking.
White Top AIE caught that in the chat room. You're right, Spore. I could totally see that.
Yeah, Spore-ish. Very Spore-ish.
Yeah. The game is very Spore-ish. The atmosphere of this game is really cool. The audio sounds, it really makes you feel like you're in some kind of alien tropical rainforest, right? You got all these little whoos and weird noises and drops of water just right off the screen, and you feel like you're with nature. And there's a lot of mechanical things, but they're all stone and copper and energy driven. Mm-hmm. And there's like and I do like the fact that since there's no quest given, you enter an area and then that area is blocked off. So you can't leave that area until you finish your puzzles. So it feels very natural to get into those areas, like you've gotten yourself into a situation. Oh, what have I done? Hob, what have you done? Mm. And you have to get yourself out. However, there is one thing that about this game that that has caused me a lot of trouble. And that is the cameras. The way the cameras are set up when you go into certain, you know, you'll go to a new screen, and in some screens, the cameras will get locked in.
You say cameras, you mean there's multiple cameras? What do you mean?
Okay, so when you're playing a video game, this comes down to the game engine, which this is Ogre, by the way, the game engine they're using, same one they use for Torchlight this as well. But it's highly modified for what they were doing.
Yeah.
So you go into certain areas, you're playing a game and you get into a certain area and you feel like most of the time the camera's like about maybe 10 feet away from your character.
Oh, you just mean the camera. I thought you meant there were like multiple angles you could switch between or something.
You didn't find the cameras? No. So usually like 10 foot away from your character. Yeah. And then in certain areas when it's tight, you know, the camera will get kind of close on you, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But there, you know, lots of times when you're in a certain area, the camera will move around with you so that you can see a little bit better where you need to be. Mm. Well, there's some areas that for effect, because this game is all about revealing areas.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it'll lock the camera in so you can't see beyond a certain point. However, the problem is sometimes in this one spot, I really got stuck because I could not see the activation button that I needed to hit because of where the camera was at. So I was like, I can't get to it. I just didn't see it. I walked past it like 100 times.
Mm.
And I finally got on the internet because I got so frustrated. I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to just sit here forever and try to figure this out. And I got on the internet and I'm like, oh, the dude walked over there and did it like that. I couldn't see that. How am I supposed to see that stupid thing over there? And also in some places when you're fighting, it aggravates the crap out of me when you're fighting some creatures and stuff and all the foliage will get in your way and you can't see yourself and you can't see the what you're fighting. So that's kind of a big drawback with those stationary cameras that are locked in. I get what they're doing it though, because one of the endearing parts of Hob is getting to a certain point in the game and you'll actually sit on a cliff's edge. You'll actually go up to it, activate it with X on my controller, which is what I was using. You'd sit down and the music would swell and you could look out, you know, across the landscape and see where you're going and see what's next, what the areas are next.
So, you know, that sounds like Assassin's Creed. They get up on top of a spire and sit there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it reveals a big chunk of the land.
It's very cool. It's a very cool game. I picked it up for like, I don't know, if somewhere between $15 and $20.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely the sweet spot if I was going to get this game. It's only a 10-hour game tops. If you're a faster gamer than me, it may go faster, but so it fits right in with what I've been doing. So
right.
I really enjoyed the look of Hob. Chick, you, I know, I've noticed something.
I own this game, by the way. I have this game. I just haven't played it.
You do exactly. Mm-hmm. I noticed something about this game. A lot of people, because this is a slow start game. So if you do get the game, don't quit right away. Because I wanted to within the first hour. I was so convinced. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to like this game. I'm so disappointed. It gets better.
All right.
So I noticed that most of my friends who had the Hob game were either like played it for 30 minutes or played it for 10 hours.
Mm.
There was nobody like it 3 hours or anything. You either played it for a minute and said, because it's a really different kind of game.
It was a little buggy early on, so I know they've did a lot of fixing for stuff, and there was mostly technical
issues.
Kinda,
and you're kind of screwed now, so if something buggy happens with something now, you're just kind of like,
well, as far as I know, they've tweaked it and fixed it and it's all good now, but I don't know what those guys are going to do, where they're all going to end up. I hope they do more work because they're awesome.
They're doing some stuff, right? Because some of the guys who came over from Blizzard, Diablo, came into Torchlight, Runic, and then
it was founded by ex-Blizzard guys. They then left and started this other company whose name I can't remember. And that's where I was talking about Rebel Galaxy last week, space deal. That's those guys. So they've got something new coming up, another space thing. I don't know what it is, but I'm super jazzed because I loved the last one. And I like those guys. So whoever they all are, I hope they keep making video games because I like games and they make them.
I agree 100%. I hate that there's not going to be like a Hob 2. I wish somebody could pick it up, because I can already tell, even though I haven't finished the game yet, I can already tell I the characters are endearing. I like the universe.
Yeah,
but it's just
like having your arm ripped off, put a new one on there. Sure,
it's great. Yeah. And some of the coolest parts is upgrades. I mean, the upgrades you can do to your arms. I almost forgot to mention this, but you have these, you kind of go along and you'll find these long tubes and you'll go like, oh, there's a button next to this tube. And you hit the button and all of a sudden your arm gets sucked in and you go, ah, and the Hellboy arm will like a breakout. You know what I'm talking about? Like, when you'll see a graphic breakout of the insides of something, the arm will actually break apart and new pieces will be put into it.
Yeah, it's upgrades.
Yeah, and it'll upgrade, and then it kind of comes back together, and then all of a sudden you can zip around behind enemies. You can go shoo, with like these electric bolts and stuff. I'm really interested in where the story's going, though. But so far, like I said, 3 hours in, I am no closer to understanding any type of story than I was when I started.
Well, that's
I've
not
just
good.
Accepted. The, yeah, exploded view.
Doesn't seem
thanks
good.
For Houdini7.
All right. Well, here's another one I tried to check out, and sadly, I had technical problems, and apparently they're all being addressed.
No.
So I'll get back to it. I'll briefly mention it, though. Ash of Gods Redemption. If you've played the Banner Saga games, Banner Saga 1 and 2, then you've played a similar kind of game. It's this cool animation style of character and combat and stuff. It looks like, I don't know what to compare it to. You remember Ralph Bakshi, that's the guy I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Ralph Bakshi, yeah.
That old, like
70s,
and
that kind of
stuff, and the kind of rotoscope-looking animation and that kind of thing. It's very similar to that. The Banner Saga games, if you played those before, anybody who's listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. It's totally that style. Mm-hmm. And it's also a turn-based strategy game, just like that Banner Saga stuff was. This was yet another Kickstarter game. I believe the original Banner Saga started that way as well. I've not been able to get in far enough to tell you what the hell's happening story-wise because I'm having technical problems that crash the game. There have been patches since I played it last, so maybe it's all solved now. I'm very curious about the world, and the characterization seems super interesting to me. I don't know how the writing is, again, because I can't get very into it. The reviews are pretty good, so I must be in for some fun here. It's very cool. I'm totally into it. In fact, I would watch an animated series of this game if they ever made one, because the animated cut sequence stuff is really, really cool. It reminds me of like I said, it's like that old style of animation that was less expensive, but not cheap the way that like Super Friends or something is cheap. It's hard to explain, but
right,
whatever
it's
look
limited,
is.
It's like that limited animation, but I've actually seen some of the screenshots and stuff, and Banner Saga is very much that, right?
It's the comparison you'd want to make. It's very similar to that. This is a lot bloodier and like more hardcore, I think, and I don't know, it's super interesting so far. I'm intrigued and I'm excited to keep playing it. I just need tech issues to get fixed, so that's happening. That's
very
coming.
Much the color palette very much reminds me of Attack on Titan.
Yeah, it's like that. It's not anime exactly, but it has kind of that quality of what you'd expect from an anime. And there's a ton of info out about it. Go watch the trailer at the very least, or the little intro movie. That's really cool to see. So I won't spend too much time on that, but Ash of Gods, I'll check that out more next week. So instead I turn to King, or For the King rather, and Tomb of Annihilation, Tales of Candlekeep. Now you say to yourself, Scott, those are two games. Why are you talking about those? Well, they're both basically D&D experiences. For the King, which comes out of Early Access this week, I've had it forever. The developer gave me a code like a year and a half ago. It was real rough at the beginning. That thing's tightened way up now. But basically, it's a very loving homage to the kind of the systems of Dungeons & Dragons, but in video game form. You're these like polygonal-looking dudes. You pick you put three in your group. You can play this co-op if you want or against other people online, but I just play it solo. And you roll dice for how far you can move, and you roll dice for the actions you're going to take and the abilities you use, and the better dice rolls you get, the more chance you have of hitting people. It's D&D, really.
Yeah.
And it's good.
And I like their little humor about themselves, because I'm looking at some of the screenshots, and they got the abominable.
Yeah.
In one scene, yeah. And they got these giant Cthulhu looking characters. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like, let's see, I'll show some video of this to the chat. You can see kind of what's going on here. It's like,
I like the art style.
The art is really not, different. It's not, yeah, it's just, it's like low poly count, but you know, on purpose, it's meant to look.
It's not like Minecraft low poly.
No,
right?
No, it's more totally like, different. It's like the old Virtua games, except way better because we live in 2018 now, but. but it's intentionally kind of blocky and not in an 8-bit blocky blurry way. It just looks, I don't know. I really like it. I think it's really clean and cool. The overworld is like this, you know, landmass, and you travel around this landmass and you roll the dice and say, well, how many moves can I make? And then you'll have random encounters or caves or dungeons or whatever. And when you fight that stuff, it zooms into a more personal view of those fights, and in those fights you take turns and the enemy takes his turn and then you do your turn and you have abilities, usually three, you can build upon those. You have a tank, you have a ranged, like a you know, arrow dude, and you take like a mage with you. There's other unlockables, but that's primarily what you go in there with, and it feels like D&D, like straight up, like feels like that's what you're playing. And
I like the battle scenes, like you were talking about. I like the way they're laid out. I like the character layout sheets are kind of at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like the user interface for that. I really dig that.
Yeah, it's nice and flat and easy, and they're not doing anything too crazy here. It's all pretty standard stuff. But but I like it a lot, and it borrows from D&D systems, but it also throws a few of its own in there, and you're always getting loot and stuff like that. The only complaint I would have is I kind of prefer these kind of games when there's an overworld where all three of us aren't having to move separately in your team. I guess that makes sense if we're playing co-op, but when I'm playing solo, I kind of wish it was representative of just here's our group, and then if I have an encounter, all three of us are there, because if you get too far from each other, you're like, all right, I'll take on these two wolves. They don't look like too much trouble. And then it's just like your archer and the other two guys aren't in there with you. You're like, well, shit, I'm not going to win with just the archer. It's my only complaint. It's not that big a deal, but it's a nifty game and it comes out of early access this week. So I recommend it.
Have you played co-op at all?
No, not yet, but I'm going to. Bo and John bought it. They want to try it. Trying to think who else.
Looks interesting.
Yeah. How do you spell Annihilation?
A-N-N-I-H-N.
I got this so wrong. Okay, Tomb of Annihilation. The dungeon. Now, this is actual licensed Dungeons & Dragons D&D business here, okay?
Business.
Yeah, so this is not some, you know, rip-off thing or an homage or whatever. This is actual D&D licensed. It's actually licensed on a board game by the same name, Tales of Candlekeep, Tomb of Annihilation. And it's a party-based D&D thing. Now, I've never played the board game. I've heard good things about it. This is a pretty good representation, apparently, of that. I haven't heard, you know, haven't heard anything bad about it in terms of its comparison to that particular product. And you take your dudes around and you reveal new areas, almost like big puzzle pieces, and new area opens up and a guy's there to fight. And you have a movement phase and an action phase. And you each have abilities, and you can roll. You roll dice for the attacks, and like all the stuff you do in D&D, it's all here. But it's in this really cool, easy to use interface, kind of top down Diablo style. It's not Diablo style in terms of the action, but you know, it's turn based D&D, and you can build your party up to 5 people. I started with 1, and you slowly unlock additional party slots. For some reason, the guy I'm watching play on this video is looking at all the tutorial windows instead of the game, and it's driving me freaking crazy. But anyway, it's great. I have a lizard man.
You've been playing some pretty rich games. Those are things that are, you know, require a lot of focus and concentration and strategy.
I don't know about that. I think they are great. Specifically, this one, Tomb of Annihilation, is great for quick get in, get outs, actually.
Right.
Because you're not, I mean, you still have to think and whatever, but they're just quests and they're kind of randomized and it's like, oh, you need to go collect 5 of these bones or go in here and save 3 of these people or kill 8 of these or whatever. And you're trying to get gold and upgrades and everything else. And you can do a session and put it down and go do something else and then come back and play it again. Now, I only have one complaint about this game. I really like it. I think it's awesome and absolutely worth buying.
I almost the same complaint as this guy has on the Steam page.
Who cares what he thinks? Here's what I think is a problem. It's, most games have, if they are installable on Linux, Mac, and Windows.
Right.
Or any combination of those, usually there's cloud save and syncing between them. This, for some reason, and they say they're working on this, so maybe this will change, but right now you can't synchronize cloud. So if you're playing on PC, that's your save there. If you're playing it on a Mac or Linux, that's your save there. There is no cloud synchronization. Wild. And that bums me out because I would switch between a notebook and a desktop a lot with this game. I'd love to take this on the road, but I don't want to not have my saves. So it annoys me. Now, if it's two PCs, no problem. Synchronized, no big deal.
Odd.
And I have plenty of other games that synchronize across all the platforms, so I don't understand what the problem is.
That's pretty standardized for Steam. So they got to be doing something outside of the standard to break that, because that's pretty 101 kind of stuff there.
You'd think. But so anyway, it bums me out a little. But that game's great, and I love it, and cannot recommend, especially of the two, the one I'd recommend the most is Tales of Candlekeep. Tomb of Annihilation. Yeah, it's really good. All right, tell me about YS Chronicles. What the hell is that?
So, okay, do you want to hear about the YS Chronicles, or you want to hear about the Angst?
I don't know. Which one do you like more? YS Chronicles.
I spent more time playing Angst.
All right, tell me about Angst.
All right, so Angst is the beef. No, I'm just kidding. Angst is a Windows mixed reality game. It's actually, I believe, it started out on the Oculus Rift, but there is now a free Windows Store version that I believe plays very similar. And I got to say, it plays very well on my setup. So it is a space madness game of sorts. You start off by being called to space. As you put your VR glasses on, you start the game. You're out in space where there's nothing around you, and slowly bring up the lights, and you're kind of standing in this room with a chair, and you know, you can look down and you see your little gloved hands, and you're like, and you hear like calling off in the distance by this robot kind of cold sounding voice, and you look over in his direction, and suddenly you can, if you stare at that direction long enough, you get a teleport. So you know, it's one of those gaze teleports where if you're playing VR, this is one of the ways.
Yeah, those gays really know how to teleport, man. I'll tell you what.
Right, G-A-Z-E.
Okay.
Right. So you look at a point in the distance, and it'll give you a little loading bar, and then you pop over to where you're going. So apparently you're a Russian cosmonaut, as the story goes, and you're suddenly teleported to this 1950s. Like, I don't know, it's this kind of retro, right? It's supposed to be kind of in the future, but it's kind of retro because all the computer components and the AI that you're talking to is kind of maybe kind of like Fallout kind of level stuff, where you got this floating CRT kind of monitor floating in the air, and he's all old school, and everything has got that old brown kind of look to it, and everything is real retro. So you show up in your little room upstairs in the space station that you're in. You're getting instructions through a radio from this AI. And he tells you first thing, he's like, hey, it's time to get moving, man. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, cool. So he keeps calling you Valentina. And at first it's like, why does he keep calling me Valentina? I don't get it. Am I Valentina? And apparently that's the first woman in space. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Valentina, first woman in space. No idea. Is that for
real? Russian. Valentina. She is Russian. First woman in space. And so you're aboard the ship in the company of Constantine, who is your
Constantine.
AI.
Are you sure it isn't Constantine?
No. I want to go with Constantine. Constantine. I can't say it. Oh, my God. I can't say it no matter how I try. Constantine. But that doesn't look right. Okay. Anyway, it's not like Constantine like you would expect to see from Keanu Reeves. Anyway, so this dude, this AI is very cold, and he kind of keeps he keeps giving you instructions to do stuff because you basically can't do much else than what he tells you to do. Mm-hmm. So he tells you to go to the lab first thing when you show up, and you get there and you go down to the lab, and he goes, okay, it's time to take some tests. And he's like, you're like, okay. So he sets you in this chair and there's straps around your arms. You're like, this isn't right. And so then he starts running this like newsreel looking film footage, and he starts giving you all these questions about why you're there and what you think about this, and do you prefer this picture of a rutabaga or do you prefer this picture of a pipe wrench? And you're like, I don't know. So you just kind of start picking random stuff.
Why is he doing subtitles? Does he talk to you? How come he's subtitling?
Why is he subtitling?
The robot, little robot guy, is everything he says, all the dialogue in this game looks like it's subtitled.
Yeah. Oh, it's because everything on the screen is in Russian. His vocals are English.
Okay.
But yeah, this is an Austrian company. No, I'm sorry. I'm getting confused. This is where are these guys from? This is Black River Studio. So they're from Brazil.
Oh.
So yeah.
Well, they only have Black Rivers in Brazil.
Real Russian speaking Brazil.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah. So you get in this game. So, okay. So basically the gist of the game is he keeps giving you orders and they're all very simple things, but it's very on rails and you can't really break out of what he's telling you to do until you can. And I was just about to turn this game off because like, this game is stupid. It's just telling me to do stuff and I'm doing exactly what it says. It says, go to the hydroponic room and, you know, cut off leaves on the in the hydroponic room. It's like, this is so stupid. It's just dumb. But then it turned dark. You know, I like a game when it turns dark.
Yeah, you're a big fan.
And so I'm a big fan of that. So you slowly start to lose your mind and you start having blackouts, and your psychological test you have to take every day. They start getting a little bit weirder and you start losing days, and you'll show up in certain areas. And Constantine, yes, what's it? Somebody's gonna beat him up, and you're like, oh my god, I have a wrench in my hand. You realize it was you, and so there's these things that are going on that you can't quite understand. And by the time I got through with the game, the ending was really weird. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't give it away. Yeah, in case somebody plays this thing.
If you have Windows Mixed Reality or Oculus or any other kind of VR headset. This is a good hour game. It's short. According to what I've read afterwards, there's multiple endings, and all of them are kind of weird. And okay. The ending I got was so weird, and I kind of want to share it. I want to share it so bad. I'm like, I want to tell everybody, but, you know, if you are out there, people are asking me all the time. They hear that I play VR, and I kind of enjoyed this game. It's real slow, though. Mm. It's real slow. In the first 20 minutes, you're going to want to quit. You're like, I'm not doing anything. This is dumb. I'm doing exactly what this dude tells me. I'm not doing anything. You can't do anything else. It won't let you.
Yeah, I don't always like that.
I don't either. Yeah. But it actually plays to the game, because by the time you get about 20 minutes in, you start kind of, you don't care that he won't let you do anything. You start trying to do stuff anyway.
Yeah.
And suddenly he kind of starts taking notice.
Yeah.
That you're doing these things, that you're like, if he tells you to go down this hall and you take a little turn to the right, he'll say, where are you going, Valentina?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, and so it starts getting creepy. It's a good build up. It's a good build up.
All right. Let me ask you this question about, someone in the chat wanted to know if you played Prey. This was
I played Prey for half a minute and kept saying I would come back to it. I definitely know that it's a game because Bethesda, that's my company. I love me some Bethesda.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is on my, I got to get back.
You know, they're just owned by a giant mega Chinese corporation now, you know. They're not,
I don't care.
They're not like some cool indie freaking Texas company anymore. They're like ZeniMax, run by a thousand androids, or I don't know what they are.
I know, but still, I have a love, and you can't take that from me.
It was really funny.
I have fond memories.
That guy stabbed me in the face 50 times with a knife. I don't care. I still like it.
I don't care. I'll still wear his shirt.
Yeah, like it's fine. Final note here about games that we are playing and slash will play. So a lot of people are like, Scott, how come you aren't playing Far Cry 5? That's lame. You should play that. And my thinking was, look, I'm going to hang on to my $59.99 because Next week, this week now, tomorrow,
right?
The new God of War hits.
Oh, was that already?
And of course I'm playing that. Are you kidding me? The reviews, have you seen the reviews? They are like unanimous, like 10 scores from everybody. It's ridiculous.
I've been hiding from it. I've been trying to know as little as possible.
Let me tell you what's going on with that game. Right now, sitting at, you know, take what you want from Metacritic, sitting at a rare 95 score.
Wow.
On Metacritic from all reviewers, hundreds, tens, wherever, however these people rate it, people are rating them that way. I talked to somebody who's played the game top to finish, who I trust. I'm not going to use names here because I'm not supposed to say that I knew he played it. But he says it is the best game he has played in a couple of years. And that says a lot.
Right.
So I'm so beyond excited. Oh, yeah. Jeff Cannata freaking out, too. He's cannot stop talking about God of War. And I'm very excited to play it. It sounds like they have really outdone themselves, and I am picking that damn thing up. I got to preload it tonight because, as we all know, PSN is slower than molasses running uphill on a winter day.
Oh my gosh! Especially when a game like this releases,
yeah,
it is just insane.
And I'm downloading. I'm not doing the disc thing. I know there were discounts if I did the whatever, but I'm not going to worry about it. So that's the game I saved my money for. That game I'm going to talk about next week. Come hell or high water. God of War will be back in my life. Kratos will be back in my life, cradling me with his Kratos-like cradleism.
I kind of dread it because I know that's all I'll play for a while. I don't want to be the only thing I play. I'm enjoying so many indie games right now, but I do know that I am a sucker for a good God of War. So.
Yeah, no, dude. And it sounds like they've just taken this to a whole new place, and I'm so excited.
Right.
Also, I did play Farm Together a bunch, just so you know.
Wait, tell me about it. No, I'm just kidding.
I bought a whole new chunk of land. Yeah. I got a honey stand, and I got a pancake jam stand. So whenever I get a bunch of fruit or enough fruit, I can sell this jam and get more metals, which means good things because metals are hard to come by. So I'm earning way more metals now. It's awesome. I love that game. Continue to just think it's a great little farming simulator that's made for the rest of us. Some people are playing those crazy farming sims. I'm not interested. This is a cartoony bobbly head dude running around planting shit, and it's great. Oh, and I got rabbits. I got a ton of rabbits. I like it. All right. We're going to play a quick game.
I want to say just one little quick thing. I picked up, it looks like Wise Chronicles. But if you've ever played the Wise, you know that the JRPG crew is going to bust up in here and tell you it's not Wise. It's not Y. Little S is Ease or something like. What is it? Is it Ease? Is that right? I'm going to get beat up.
I have no idea what you're even talking about.
But it's Wise Chronicle. You never seen the old game? It's been around. Oh, the series has been around forever.
Ringing a bell to me.
This past week, it's a JRPG. This past week, they had 99-cent sale on the Chronicles, which is kind of like a remastering of parts 1 and 2. And so I picked that up, and it is what's the word I'm looking for? Painful for me.
Okay.
But I know that some people love those, and if it was a good deal, and I'm gonna try to go back in again. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if my stomach can handle it.
We'll see if it can take it.
Ease. I think it's called Ease or something like that.
Sure,
Ease.
why not indeed. Yeah. All right, here's a quick theme. That was loud. We're gonna do a quick game of Guess This Game. Welcome to Guess This Game, everybody. It's a game we just started playing where we play audio from a game and see if each other can guess what it is. Neither of us have any previous knowledge as to what each other's bringing. I'm gonna play mine first. You tell me if you know what this is. Are you ready?
Go.
Here we go. See if you can guess.
Ooh.
Almost sounds like guest music, doesn't it?
Oh wow, this is so familiar.
Okay. Here's some of the fighting. The actual gameplay.
Myself around doing this. What was that?
Any ideas?
Is it from a Neo Geo era kind of game?
Era, yes. Not from the Neo Geo, though.
Oh, that sounded so much like a Neo Geo type of sound effect. Wow, I don't know it. Man, that sounds so familiar.
You'd hear it, you would hear it and go, oh, we got a winner in the chat room. Mew Cow is 100% correct. Mew Cow, congratulations. RoboCop from the arcade.
Oh, is it RoboCop? Dang it.
1988, and it was made by Data East. A long story why I know them very well. Anyway, Titus Interactive, bunch of other people, was brought here to the U.S., and it's not very good. It's kind of a crappy game, but I have a lot of fond memories about it being in arcades and me rolling up on it and putting a quarter in and playing.
I like that you rolled up on it.
Yeah.
Hey, RoboCop,
rolling on up, and he had his gun.
Are you playing a machine or something?
No, I just was hunting around for something. You'd have a hard time.
Something cool.
Yeah, these guest games don't have to be ones we're playing right now. They're just, you know.
Oh, fun. That's too bad because I really struggled hard with this week's.
Yeah.
The one I picked.
All right. Well, let's play it and see if I can guess. Here goes. I'm going to play it now. Here you go.
Oh, yeah. Better than ever. Ready, go.
I have no idea what this is.
Now, it's in the vein of those I could have swore you said you used to play this. It is Paul.
Is it a racing game of some sort?
It kind of sounds like one, doesn't it? And there are some racy elements to it. It is called Action Hank.
Oh, I've heard of Action Hank. I've never played Action Hank.
There was some action game that you used to play on the PlayStation, and I thought it was like in the same vein as that. Is it? Oh, what is that stupid game? I remember you and both Nicole were playing it, and y'all were all talking it up, and I'm like, I don't have it. And
that might have been Nicole. I don't remember this.
Unfamiliar
to
this
me.
This is a run, jump, and butt slide into glorious toy-filled world of Action Hank. I got this. Did I get this off the Humble Bundle? I can't remember. I think I did. And I'm looking forward to it. It's a silly looking.
His smile is way too into his face.
Yeah.
How old is this game? We're talking like 360 era or what?
2015. So, oh, okay. You know, not that. Yeah, still this generation.
All right. It's really crappy looking.
It really is, but I'm hoping that was on purpose. It looks like it's got a little bit of track building, track mania kind of thing to it, which I hope to play on the PlayStation 4, by the way, the track mania thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to this. I'm hoping that it'll be so dumb looking that it'll be great.
Like this little Action Hank guy. I don't like him at all. He's kind of terrible with his big gut and his dumb face.
Yeah. He makes all those noises. Love it.
All right. Well done. I went very classic and old. Brian went newer and more current, I guess.
I will next week go with the spirit of guess what this game is instead of guess the game I'm playing.
Yeah. Is this also on phones? It has a very phone interface, like the controls.
It looks like it might. It could be, but it looks like the building part could be very complex. I don't know if you could fit something like that on yet. On
yeah, yet.
Yet.
Give it time.
Yet.
Give it time, man. We got this stuff. We're going to work all this out. One day, Action Hank on phones. You heard it here first.
It's coming.
All right. We have one news story today. So here's this. Not that there's only one news story, but this is how we're doing it now. We talk about a bunch of games because that's fun and we like interacting with each other. That's the focus of the show. It always has been. Y'all can go find the news anywhere. We're just going to pick the one that just kind of tweaked our wieners. All right. And here's one that did. Captain Kipper found this and put it in our Reddit over at boop.reddit.com. Game collector found drugs hidden in his NES cartridges. That's right.
Yeah.
Julian Turner, a collector of retro video games, went to a market earlier this month and bought some old NES games. When he got home, he discovered that he got more than he paid for. Two of the cartridges were packed with illegal drugs.
Heroin.
You ever heard the phrase blow on the cartridge? Now it's blow in the cartridge.
Did you come up with that?
Probably not, but I feel like I did, but I'll bet 1,000 people have told that joke.
I bet so, but still.
The two games in question were roller games and golf. Alarm bells started ringing when Julian realized that the copy of roller games was a PAL, that is to say European or Australian version, which is something you'd see wouldn't see every day at a flea market in Georgia. After then noticing the cartridges felt heavier in the hand, He went and opened that thing, or weighed him first, noticed they were 50% heavier on a scale than they should have been. He unscrewed it, and as he, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the side of this, and I'll show you this picture here so you can see it, but the actual NES cartridges were nothing. Like, it's just a little bit of circuitry. Like, it's just nothing down there. That little bit.
All the guts was mostly down at the bottom.
Yeah, this stuff up here, all air, nothing. Yeah. Like, it was just ridiculous. But down
perfect place to hide your heroin.
Yeah, and if you look at that image, it's basically like a RAM. It's like a RAM stick is how big it is. But in there was some cocaine, and it looks like money.
That's actually an older. So the article is talking about in reference to what tipped off Julian. By the way, Julian Turner, you should follow his YouTube channel. He's a freak. I love him. He is so into collecting retro equipment and games, and he is like obsessive with, you know, repairing old games and seeing what's on the inside and making them work, and just. He's a wild man. So I'm not surprised that when he was at the jockey lot, and he's the kind of person that would pick it up and go, "Well, this cartridge is heavier. We must take it home and see what's inside."
Yep, totally see that. He does not know what the actual drugs are. I say cocaine just because I think it probably is. But right.
if you watch the video, he says that. People said from the look of it, because he videotaped the whole thing and he cut open the wrapper and showed people what it was. People were saying it was heroin. I've never seen it, but
that's possible. It looks like little hard packs of heroin.
Right.
Somehow he has three arms. I don't know how this is working, but there must be two people.
That's
his
good buddy who are just.
It looks like there's two. It looks like one guy with three arms in there. Oh my gosh! Look at these little packets of drugs.
Yeah.
Give those to the cops. What if they're just
vacuum sealed?
What if those little mint patties? What are those called? Peppermint patties. What if it's that?
No, they actually he shows all the way through in the video. He shows even after he couldn't show the cops, but he showed that the cops did come and they picked up the drugs and they did all their little testing and stuff. They haven't come back to what was in it yet, but they've already picked it up and everything.
Yeah, I'm really curious about this. I want to see what they are and see how it went.
I'd like to follow up on that.
Yeah, he films the cops coming in and everything. Look at this.
Yeah.
There he comes, walking in. Newman PD Officer Jay Krause. Come up to this guy on his desk here, or on his thing. Boy, he's played a lot of video games. He's all hunched over. You can see it. Anyway, that's fantastic. Nice find.
So, Jake. I gotta go bust up in my... old cartridges real quick. Right back.
You're going to grab what? Oh, because you got drugs in there? Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And so in a related story, there's been stories a long time ago, which I had never seen, where people have found drugs in the past and huge sums of money. Like there was some kind of, at some point in time, some type of drug exchange that was going on between the U.S. and Europe.
That's crazy.
Specifically in Nintendo cartridges.
That's pretty crazy.
I'm looking forward to that documentary.
Almost as crazy as this. Time for an email from Vastidius, a.k.a. Steve, from the Legend of the Innkeeper podcast. He wrote in and says, "Okay, I'm almost finished with episode 169, and I heard all about Scott's love of cooking games, and I'm very similar. I also love these games. I like Build a Lot, it's a game on Steam, never heard of it, and have played and completed almost every single one. However, Scott, I am about to ruin your life with a suggestion. Hopefully you haven't already talked about this. I picked up the new early access game PC Building Simulator on Steam." This is for real, by the way. And I've seen it. Haven't played it, but I've seen it. It's basically a game that lets you build computers virtually.
Ooh.
And turn them on, make sure they work. Oh, there's music to that. I'm going to turn that down. But here's the Steam page, chat. You can take a look at it. You literally buy your parts in a fake interface. They show up. You build a dream PC. You put it on a desk. You're shoving in hard drives and... putting in the motherboard and popping in your RAM and making sure your cooling system's working and tweaking it out. And I've heard that people really like this. Like, really, really like it. And it's actually got branded stuff like Corsair memory and a super cooler RAM or cooling systems and all that kind of stuff. You repair, you run your own PC workshop. It sounds like work to me. So
exactly what I was thinking. You have to do RMAs?
Probably. I mean...
Oh, God.
Look at this. MSI, Gigabyte, EVGA, Corsair, Master Cooler, Arctic, AMD. Like, this is insane. Anyway, it's a little overpriced for me. $20 seems like a lot for me to do a thing that I actually kind of don't like doing in real life anymore. Like building PCs now makes me tired and grumpy. So I don't think this is a game I'm going to get. But I totally get why he likes it. And we'll go ahead and let people know about it here.
It is cool looking.
Yeah, it's PC.
Wow, it just came out, too, on the 27th of last month.
PC Building Simulator, out now. In early access, but it looks pretty polished. The reviews are strong. People like it. And he says that game has scratched that itch in a crazy new super way. You wouldn't think you would enjoy a game like this, but filling orders for PCs is so much fun. Maybe I have to check it. I don't know. Someone's going to have to. I need other people to convince me. So we got Steve. He's voted that we should try it. Somebody else wants me to try this thing. You need to.
I might have to try it as well. Because I'll tell you, in a time when cryptocurrency has ruined our abilities to order good video cards, I mean, you might have to live that out in fantasy land.
Yeah. Right? I mean, how else are you going to do it? I agree. Why not now? If not now, when? If not who, what? That's it for emails. If you want to send in your own email, you can. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's BOOPshow@gmail.com. We are more than 50% done, or not done, for our first goal of the Kickstarter. That's crazy. We just put the thing up, so I'm very happy that it's going as quickly as it is. If you want to get in on this, playing cards, custom art from me, and then a whole bunch of unlocks that have to be exciting, including there may even be a card where Brian Dunaway is one of the Jacks or Jokers
what?
Or something. Yeah, I know. It's a crazy idea. It's crazy. It's going to happen, and it's happening now. So head on over. Check it out. That's at frogpants.com/cards with an S, cards, and it'll take you straight to the Kickstarter. Or you can find it on the Kickstarter just by searching for my name. Anyway, go check that out. If you have not already done so, you might find that you like it. Frogpants.com/BOOP is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com, as I mentioned, is our email address. And don't forget, you can find the show on Twitter @Boopshow. You can find Brian @TheBrianDunaway. You can find me @ScottJohnson. Hi. Support the show by buying stuff on the Frog Pants store or going to frogpants.com/store or going to patreon.com/frogpants. That's another great way to do it. I think it's going to do it. Brian, you got anything else? Anything else you want to say? You good?
Well, I'm hoping to play some Action Hank this next week, and I was trying to figure out what else I should play. I can't figure out if I want to go with something kind of dark or if I want to go with something, you know, kind of offset the Action Hank.
Sure. You play Action Hank. I'll play God of War with Kratos.
Oh, I hate you.
Kratos Wilson is his full name. Very excited about it. That's next week right here on The Boop Show. Come on back and listen to us. Thank you all for listening. And have a great week. Have a great day. We'll see you later.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.